And so we've come now to our Bible reading, and I'm hoping in a moment someone's going to come and read it. If not, I have just asked Rob if no one else is expecting to read. There are some challenges for you as Rob reads to us. So the easy challenge is to count how many times you hear the name Jethro. So that's the easy challenge. The medium level challenge is to count how many times you hear the name Jethro and you hear the phrase father-in-law. The difficult challenge is to count how many times you hear the name Jethro, how many times you hear the phrase father-in-law, and how many times you hear the name Moses. So you can pick which level you want to engage at. But if you're looking for the easy option, count how many times you hear Jethro. Thanks, Rob.
Okay. Our reading is from Exodus 18, from verses 1 to 27, and it's on page 75 in our Bibles as you follow it. Now, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything that God had done for Moses and his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law, Jethro, received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." And the other was named Elisha. For he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' son and wife, came to him in the desert, where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law, Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear all about the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times, the difficult cases they brought for Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Rob. I'm just going to reorganise the furniture a little bit at the front. It is going to help you to join in if you can see. This is a tree, by the way, not the beginning of a reindeer. I know my art's not very good. It would help you if you can see. So if you need to move in order to be able to see, and I'm going to need some help making the tree look more tree-like and less reindeer-like as we go through this morning. So whilst I move the furniture, do move so that you can see. I'm not convinced you can or see around the corner. Is it coming up on the screen? Yeah? Okay. So, I'm going to need some help gluing, so I really am going to need some people to come and help me. You can bring people with you. It doesn't matter what age you are. I just need help with my tree. Great. So back to those questions I asked before we had our reading. Did anyone manage the easy option, which was counting how many times you heard the name Jethro? Okay. John thinks seven, but probably 12. Anne, you think 11. Anyone got any different answers? You reckon about 15? Okay. So Jethro was 8. How about father-in-law? About 10? About 12? Joy, very good. 12. 12 times we had father-in-law. And then Moses. Did anyone... Okay, 18, very close. I made it 17. So the thing I wanted you to take away from that is that Moses' father-in-law is referred to more times as his father-in-law, that was 12 times, than he is by his name, which is Jethro. So eight times for Jethro and 12 times as Moses' father-in-law. That relationship to Moses matters. And that's the beginning of what we're going to be thinking about today, intergenerational relationships. So I don't know if I were to use the expression life hacks, whether anyone would know what I meant. There are a few nods. A few nods around the room. So a quick search of the internet will give you the following definition. A life hack is any trick, shortcut, skill, or novelty method that increases productivity and efficiency in all walks of life. I'd say it's probably an informal term to describe received wisdom or what was once perhaps called good advice. Good advice is now life hacks. But whatever term we use, life hacks, received wisdom, or just plain old good advice, it's these things which get me through each day. whether it's wrestling an unwieldy duvet into its cover, the inside-out trick is amazing, or removing candle wax from a jar candle, put it in the freezer. More often than not, it's what I've learnt from others rather than my own intuition that comes to the rescue. I can remember the moment of revelation when I was in my previous church office, and I think it was for an Easter Day sermon. I was trying to figure out how to flatten a very large piece of paper that had been rolled up for a very long time. And I was there thinking about, oh, I could iron it. How am I gonna make it flat? And then a colleague of mine said, Becca, roll it up the other way. And you know what? It worked. I so had in my head that in order to make it flat, I had to like do it like this. And actually, rolling it up was part of the solution. There are life hacks that I learn from people younger than me, and there are life hacks that I learn from people older than me. We only ever have nuggets of wisdom to share with one another, because we've received from others. We need each other. And in particular, younger generations need older generations, and older generations need younger generations. And so we're in a sermon series on friendship. And this morning, we're thinking about intergenerational friendships. Now, as we look together at Exodus 18, 1 to 27, and you might find it helpful to have that open in front of you, I'm hoping we might be able to create a visual representation of what we discover about the value of intergenerational relationships. So how this is going to work is, as we look together at Exodus 18, 1 to 27, what I would like you to do, and if anyone else wants to come and do gluing, please do come on down. What I'd like you to do is to stick a dark green leaf on the tree for when Moses does something to bless Jethro, and a light green leaf when Jethro does something to bless Moses. But I'll explain as we go through. So you just need, at the moment, you just need dark green and light green leaves and prick stick. So dark green leaf, when Moses, the younger generation, does something to bless Jethro, the older generation, and a light green leaf when Jethro does something to bless Moses. But I'll keep reminding you as we go along. My experience is that when we think of Moses, we probably don't think of this passage in Exodus 18. If I said to you, Moses, what would you think of? Just shout out. Red Sea, burning bush, staff, Ten Commandments. These are the passages that we think of when we think of Moses. We usually think of a few particular scenes in Moses' life, and Jethro's visit to Moses in Exodus 18 is not usually one of them. And yet this part of Moses' story is full of wisdom for us as individuals and as a church about the kind of relationships that we all need in the ups and the downs of life. Moses is leading God's people through the wilderness, and he sent his wife Zipporah and the couple's two sons back to Midian to stay with his father-in-law Jethro. So I think we can add a dark green leaf and a light green leaf to the tree. A dark green leaf because Moses is entrusting his wife and his sons to Jethro. He's trusting his father-in-law to care for them. And a light green leaf because Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, is doing just that. He's receiving Zipporah, Gershom, and Eliezer. So they're each doing something for the other. Moses is trusting Jethro, and Jethro is caring for his wife and sons. So we've got a dark green leaf, and a light green leaf might be coming. Let's keep going. So here in Exodus 18, the setting is the wilderness. The storyline is a visit from the in-laws, And the key characters are three generations of Moses' family: his father-in-law, his wife Zipporah, and their two children. And I'm afraid that's where the compelling storyline for a film or a TV drama ends, because the outcome of the visit is good news for both of them. And my experience is that doesn't make good TV. It's good for Moses and Jethro, but not good for box office sales. And so Jethro comes to Moses in the wilderness with Moses' wife and two sons. And Moses greets Jethro. He bows down and kisses him. And then Jethro greets Moses. So I think we can have a dark green leaf for Moses greeting Jethro, and a light green leaf for Jethro greeting Moses. They're each doing something to bless the other. And once they've greeted each other, they then go into the tent for a catch-up. We're used to dramatic events when we think of Moses: the burning bush, the Ten Commandments. And this part of Moses' stories is on one level really very ordinary. He's having a cuppa with his father-in-law in the tent. Moses tells Jethro all that the Lord has done, as Moses has led the Israelites out of Egypt and the hardships that the Lord has saved them from. Jethro responds in praise to the Lord, bringing a burnt offering and other sacrifices as a sign that the Lord is greater than all the other gods. Then at the end of the reading, we hear that Jethro returns to his own country, but he doesn't leave the same as he arrived. He leaves changed from his visit to Moses, having heard and responded to the good news of God at work. And whilst Moses remains, continuing the work God has called him to, of leading the Israelites through the wilderness, Moses too is changed by the visit of his father-in-law, Jethro. The day following their encouraging catch-up conversation, Jethro observes Moses at work. Moses is serving as judge for the people, who are queuing all day long to see Moses for him to decide on their disputes. And the system, it's not working for anyone. The people are wearing themselves out queuing, and Moses is wearing himself out trying to hear every single case. It's just not working. So Jethro offers Moses some advice. He tells him to delegate. He advises him to appoint officials who can decide on the simpler cases so that Moses can prioritize being the people's representative before God and deciding on the more difficult cases. Moses takes his father-in-law's advice and, having done this, sends his father-in-law on his way. I don't know if any of us would send our in-laws on their way. Moses' leadership moves forward as a consequence of Jethro's visit. This somewhat ordinary situation, a family visit if you like, teaches us about the power of intergenerational relationships to change our lives and change our churches. So let's add a few more leaves to our tree. Moses, the younger generation, welcomes his father-in-law and shares everything the Lord has done with him. Moses trusts and Jethro listens. Those are things that can't be taken for granted. So I think we can have a dark green leaf for Moses trusting and a light green leaf for Jethro listening. We were made for relationship. It's who God is. That's where we started this sermon series. God is three in one: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's this myth around, I think, that our friends, that the people that we can speak to about what's on our hearts and our minds, and the people that will listen to us, will be people like us. And it may be that our friends are people of a similar age, but let's not deprive ourselves of being blessed and of being a blessing by assuming this will always be the case. Of course, it's absolutely vital that all our relationships are appropriate. But are we ready to listen to the story of younger generations? Do we expect God to be at work in and through them? And for God to have something to say to us through them? And are we ready to share our stories, how God has been at work in our lives with older generations, recognizing the gift of years? We've each been given the gift of a lifetime to grow. We'll come back to that a little more in just a moment. I am struck by how Jethro doesn't just listen to Moses and nod and smile and say something like, "Thank you for sharing with me. That's really nice to hear." Jethro allows himself to be changed by the stories of God's greatness, and in so doing, affirms Moses, not by responding to Moses, but by responding to God. Jethro's not just saying nice, encouraging words back to Moses, but he's actively responding to what Moses has said. I think that needs maybe another light green leaf on the tree for how Jethro affirms Moses. Yeah, light green leaf for Jethro affirming Moses through how he responds to what Moses has said. It is said that Søren Kierkegaard, a Danish philosopher, used to tell a parable about ducks that went something like this. Every Sunday, a village of ducks would waddle into their duck church with their duck choir and their duck preacher. They would sing duck hymns, and the duck preacher would get up and tell them, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly. With wings you can rise up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you. No fences can hold you. Fly, ducks, fly." The message would be met with loud, delighted quacks. "Amen, amen." And then the ducks would waddle out of church. Jethro doesn't just listen and hear Moses' words. He listens and allows himself to be changed. Jethro's response to God shows that he has heard not just with his ears, but he's received in his heart. What an affirmation of a younger generation by an older generation that is. And so I think we certainly need another dark green leaf on the tree for Moses blessing Jethro with the good news. So we had a light green leaf for Jethro affirming Moses. We'll now have a dark one. Or we might have had one already. We're just getting a variety of leaves. Hopefully you're getting the point. So Moses has blessed Jethro with the good news. And I'm struck by their humility and trust in the relationship, the honouring of one another, the holding of one another, one younger, one older, in high esteem. And it's not just Jethro that listens to Moses, but Moses also listens to Jethro. So we can have another dark green leaf for Moses taking Jethro's advice, the advice of his father-in-law. We're not always, I think my friend always tells me off because she gives me advice and I don't take her advice, and then a colleague at work will give me advice and I'll take it. And she's like, "Becca, I told you." And we're not always good at taking the advice of those closest to us. So I think Moses definitely gets a leaf for taking his father-in-law's advice. And notice, Jethro observes Moses at work, and he doesn't just launch in with a critique of the current arrangements and a list of improvements. He takes time to be curious, to ask questions, to help Moses reflect on his situation. So I don't know where we've got to, but we can have a light green leaf, a few light green leaves, a dark green leaf, for Jethro taking the time to help Moses to reflect on his situation. We need each other, young and old. Meaningful intergenerational relationships where we can all get the life hacks we need. Where we can be encouraged in our faith by the different perspectives that different generations bring. And where we can get practical advice on a whole range of things. If I wasn't in a church community, I'd be so terrible at adulting. There'd be so many things I just wouldn't know how to do because I've not had those little conversations with people where they give me those little nuggets of wisdom that help with all sorts of things. I said a few moments ago that the story of Jethro's visit to Moses wouldn't be a compelling storyline for a film or a TV drama. It's good news for both of them, and that doesn't make good TV. However, I do think a community of safe, meaningful, intergenerational relationships is incredibly compelling. A community of safe, meaningful, intergenerational relationships is incredibly compelling. A place where the lost and the lonely, the widow and the orphan, the single person, the couple, the family, the childless, the overworked and the overlooked, where people of every life stage and every life experience can find a home. That sort of community, I think, is really compelling. Where people can give and receive whatever they have to bring. Genuine life together, where we're not in competition, and how easy it is for us to be in competition with one another. Genuine life together, where we're listening and learning from one another, where we're being blessed and being a blessing. I think that's really, really compelling. I hope that sounds good to you. At a time where it feels as though generations are becoming more divided, I think with Brexit and with COVID, one of the few places where generations gather together is church. For some people, church on a Sunday is the only time in the week where they have an interaction with someone of a different generation. Church is a really special place. Of course, we don't always get things right in church. We don't always get it right. Just as being a community of all ages is part of the church's DNA, so too is the fact that we're a community of broken sinners redeemed by grace. We don't always get it right. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. That we shouldn't aspire to be a community where the youngest child and the oldest adult and everyone in between are equally valued, where we don't just coexist, and I think we have a tendency sometimes just to coexist, but where we intentionally connect and form together. Because when we do this, like Moses and Jethro, we will all grow as followers of Jesus in the ups and the downs of life. Jethro grew in his relationship with God. Moses grew in his leadership of God's people, helping God's people to grow. Have we got any leaves left? Because I have got, they're all on the tree already. I was just going to say we could have a final dark green leaf and a final light green leaf for Moses helping Jethro to grow in his relationship with God, and for Jethro helping Moses to grow in his leadership of God's people. We've been given the gift of a lifetime to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's in 1 Peter. We grow when we share with and receive from others across generations. This means that we show up on a Sunday morning, not just for ourselves, but for one another. I need all of you to be here, and I hope that you need me to be here too. You probably do if I'm preaching the sermon. We need each other to be here. We're not called to be spiritual islands. So let's aspire to be the sort of community I just described, not by dreaming dreams of what the ideal church would be like. It's not ever going to be like the ideal church you're dreaming of. So let's aspire to be the community I just described, not by dreaming dreams of the ideal church, but by, in the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, entering into life together as thankful recipients of all that Jesus has done for us and for the gift of gathering and growing together as his people. A community of safe, meaningful, intergenerational relationships has the potential to be incredibly compelling to an increasingly lost, lonely, and disconnected world. And so what we've ended up with here, as we've thought about Moses and Jethro, is a visual representation of what happens to the life of the community when we grow together. And I hope you'll agree this looks much better than the could be reindeer that we started with at the beginning. When we grow together around Jesus, this is what we end up with. We need each other. And so.